What are the odds of you saying Germany?
I'm like, okay, what trips have I been on? Oh, Germany, I had a blast. I went to Oktoberfest.
So, so good. You're an idiot. Oh my gosh. I am ready. Welcome. I'm in a better mood this week. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. Tim's here. Larry's here. Maybe for the last time.
Sorry.
Larry's leaving Traverse City. It's a sad day. Are you tearing up already?
It's been a long day. I closed on my house this morning, so that's very a fresh wound to bring up.
Yeah.
Too soon.
It's not too soon. It has to be brought up. Larry is going to travel back to Traverse City. You're moving downstate, correct?
Yep. Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids. His wife's there, so you always have to follow your wife.
So I didn't tell anyone at the office this, but we've been living apart for the last like 3 months.
Wow.
I could have gathered because I follow you on Strava, which is this biking app that shows you how long you bike. And for the last few months, I get these updates saying, Larry just finished a 12-mile bike. And it's every day. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Like, he leaves work and then goes on a massive bike ride every single day.
Who has this kind of free time?
Yeah, he just has all the free time in the world. But yes, I could have gathered. Well, that's hard. I've been away from my wife, and I know it's not easy. So what have you been doing to kind of take up all your time? Because you leave work at 5, then what do you do for the next 7 hours?
Lots of repairs on the house. We were selling it, so lots of like painting. I think you summed it up with lots of bike rides, taking my dog to the park, you know, just living the single guy lifestyle.
And then did you enjoy the single lifestyle as opposed to being married? That's the age old question.
Dear
right?
God, no.
Yeah.
It's just so different.
Yeah. I think being married is so much more enjoyable than being single.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
I know. And everyone's like, oh, all the single guys, they have so much fun. They're out in the town. It's like,
false.
No, not fun.
It's like you don't have that just net of like there's nothing to do and there's nothing you want to do. And then it's totally fine because you're just like there with your family and your wife. And it's like, oh, it's such a nice safety net to
this
have. Of
built in entertainment.
It really
built
is,
in yeah. Friends, built in everything. Tim, thoughts?
I have nothing to contribute here.
Tim's single, but you've never been married. So you don't know the alternative to being single.
True.
So one day we'll get you there.
You're going to set me up with somebody?
I am.
I've been asking you that for a while.
I am. I have actually someone in mind.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about Lafayette.
Okay.
I watched an Office clip the other day. Michael went on a blind date.
Oh,
and he went
so
to the
painful.
Coffee shop. And he's like waiting for his coffee. And so they each dressed up. He had like a big red thing in his suit pocket. And she was supposed to be wearing jeans and a dark shirt and have dark hair. And there was this other woman in there and she had blonde hair, looked like a model. And Michael goes, I give her a 10 for looks. I give her a 1 for explaining how she looks. And then so she obviously walks at a screen. And then this other lady walks in with the pants and the shirt and the brown hair. And she goes, are you Michael? And he just kind of, nope. And then the barista hands him his coffee. We have a hot chocolate with the caramel foam on it.
Extra sugar
for Michael. And he just kind of like his face goes complete white.
It was so cringy.
It's so uncomfortable and awkward. It was so funny. But anyway, so welcome to another podcast. Very excited. I'm like I said, I'm in a better mood this week. Last week I just wasn't feeling it. I think I was coming off the road from Chicago. I just didn't have my mojo, but we're feeling good today.
And the important thing is you soldiered through it. We got some content out.
We did. We had a nice interview with Marty Biron.
Yep.
Guy
a week ago
talk.
Already. Yeah.
It was a week ago.
Yeah. He was a good guest.
He was. Have you been texting with him?
Good stories. No, I haven't. No.
All right. Well, anyway, so I had a little issue last night. So my wife had her book club over and she wanted to do a pizza party. And I said, perfect. The only problem is we're running low on wood at the house. I've burned through 3 yards of wood in the last few years. If anybody knows about wood, a yard is probably about a pickup bed full of wood. So I had 3 of those. So lots of wood.
Is that all for the pizza oven?
All for the pizza oven.
Wow.
But I burnt it over a 2-year period, which is, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm out of wood. And so I went looking in my woods surrounding my house to try to look for fallen down trees or sticks or branches to start the fire. And I had my 3-year-old with me, Estelle, who's like my sidekick. Everywhere I go, she's just right on my side. So we're walking around the the woods a little bit, and I'm pulling out trees and logs and things I can carry around to the pizza oven. And all of a sudden I get to my driveway. I kind of piled all the wood there and I pick up a big, big stack of wood. I'm dragging it because the trees are probably 8 to 10 feet long. And Estelle goes, ow, 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 ow. And I'm like, what? I thought I clipped her with the tree. And I was like, oh, you know, you're fine. And I didn't want to, I couldn't go and get her because I had the trees in my hand and I was dragging them. I was like, come on, like, you're fine. Let's go. Let's go. And she kept going, oh, oh.
You're so big that you're actually carrying an entire tree, right?
I was carrying 4 or 5 smaller trees. Okay. I think I was dragging them. The trunk diameter was probably 4 inches, 5 inches. No, no, no. But like, they weren't small. They weren't big. They're carryable. Anyways, so she's freaking out. Not freaking out. She's upset. She's like, oh, 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 holding the underside of her arm where you pinch people where it really hurts. And I'm like, come on, let's go. You know, I thought I hit her with the tree. Then I like feel a pinch on my side. And I think I have a tree that has like thorns on it or something. I'm like, oh, I got stuck too. And then I look at my wrist because it's pinched too. I'm like, there's a bee going to town on my wrist, on the inside of my wrist. I'm like, bees. And so I swat the one on my wrist. I grab her. We run inside and I get her an ice cube. And as I'm getting her this ice cube, my side is still pinching.
Oh,
and
no.
I lift up my shirt and there was that stinking bee was still stinging me under my shirt. And so I like, oh, and I swat the bee away, put the kids under a blanket because her sister had come around by that point. And then I'm like, I got to kill this bee. It's in the house. And so I go searching for this bee. My other twin, Sophia, goes, it's on the window. So I went and like crushed it. And I have bee stings all over my side and wrist. And Estelle is a trooper. Only one tear. But man, bee stings, they're for, it was a wasp, not a honeybee.
Okay, I was
wasp.
She played it cool though, because those really hurt.
I know.
You like forget how much it hurts like as an adult till you get stung again.
For real though.
It really hurts.
And it's funny, the week prior, I was sitting next to someone at our friend's birthday. She had a birthday dinner and her name is Crystal. And she got stung on the foot and she was complaining and like, oh, my foot, you know, it's swelling up. It's this and that. And I was giving her a hard time about it. Like, come on, like, let's figure it out. And now I think I got a little karma because, yeah, they're not fun.
So how many total stings are we talking for
I think
you?
I got one on my wrist and 3 or 4 on my side.
Wow.
But I don't think it was too bad. I don't know.
But I actually have never been hurt before because I'm so tough.
And you're still here today delivering content to the people.
My wrist is all swollen. If I wasn't wearing a suit, you could see my wrist. But yeah.
I thought you were doing some wrist curls this week.
No, just swollen. Just all swollen. But yeah, I can't remember the last time I got stung by a bee. So it was almost like, I can handle it. But my daughter, she was a real, real trooper. I was blown away. Totally. One tear. I was completely, completely shocked. But anyways, that was my yesterday. Pizza party still went on. I went back and gathered the wood and smoked out the bees because I gathered it and dragged it.
Dragged. Tim writes, what's the answer?
Dragged or drug?
Dragged it.
I dragged it over to the oven and the bees were still buzzing around me.
You
the wasps.
Them.
No, yeah. Like they were in my face.
So
trying
like the
to
nest
sting
was
again.
Probably in the tree, right?
I think I might have taken a piece of their nest or something and then they were not happy. But I got the last laugh because I burned all that wood. Take that, wasps. But anyways, so pizza party went off without a hitch. Book club was great. I'm sure nobody cares about this, but it was, what are you going to do? Got stung by a bee, still standing. I'm a hero. What, hey? Right,
John
Tim?
Scott, man of the people.
I do my best, people. I do my best. So, no hockey again this week. No real exciting news to speak of.
Nope.
What are we going to do?
I have a game.
Oh.
So, we're going to play some 20 questions.
I thought you were going to say like the match game or something fun like that.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I love game shows.
Do you?
I absolutely love game shows. So Family Feud? I would love to
see.
Play
I never,
that.
I didn't have those growing up. I didn't watch game shows.
Price is Right?
No, I didn't watch Jeopardy.
Wheel
I didn't
of
watch
Fortune?
Any. No, I didn't watch those.
What did you grow up? Were you Amish?
No, I was reading books or watching
Oh my gosh.
I was watching like Boy Meets World and Hey Arnold and
TGIF. Boy Meets World.
I'm sorry, but I don't trust a single person who has not stayed home from school and watched Price is Right for like hours on end.
Starts at 11 a.m.
I did not do
what?
That. No, I was watching like Disney movies and stuff. I didn't really. Yeah.
How are you still single? He's a perfect man.
Oh, come on.
Let me guess, you were learning how to sew and cook and bake.
Sorry, I was saving for retirement
at 12. Anyway, so what is this so-called game then?
So it's not really a game, but it's 20 questions here, and there's...
Oh, it's not a game anymore.
It's not
a... Way to build it up.
Now that your expectations are so high, we're not going to call this.
This is going to be a great podcast.
Listen, there's no right or wrong answer.
Where did you get these questions from?
I made them all up.
Okay. What Tim doesn't know is I have questions for him, too.
Oh, no.
I do.
Okay, so these you have not seen these questions...
You just told me three of them before we came on the air.
Just to tell you where we're going with it.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, don't lie to the people.
Yeah, okay, you've seen 3 out of the 20.
I didn't see them. I heard them.
Okay. You're right. So,
I just don't want to lie.
And these are fans. Like, I mean, you've gotten tweets about this from fans before, and I know you don't have time to answer all of them, so we could probably just...
I need to sidetrack here. Speaking of Twitter and Instagram, I was scrolling through my Instagram yesterday, and I was checking my messages, and I'm like, I never replied to this person. What is... And then I read the message and it goes, "Hey, John, this message is for Tim."
Oh, yeah.
I was just wondering if he's going to be a part of the reenactment, World War II reenactment down in Ohio.
You think you're the only one who has fans on this show?
I was wondering why you were commenting on my Instagram. I know you have access to kind of look at stuff sometimes, but you're talking to my fans.
That message was for me.
That's for you to know and for me to find you to find out for me to know. And so Tim had this whole conversation with this person.
He's probably listening. He's a fan of the show.
He's a fan of you, apparently.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. There's only room for one top dog in here. There's too many chefs in the kitchen.
I think Larry's gotten tweets before, too.
I have not.
That's on a completely different reason, though. Those were complaint tweets.
Yeah, it's like, this guy needs... Let's take his mic away, please. But if I do get one, can you send it to me?
I will.
But the conversation was hilarious because Tim, you and him like struck up a nice conversation. This guy was wondering if Tim was going to the reenactment in Ohio of the World War II.
This weekend.
This weekend.
The big one.
And Tim was like, "I'm sorry, I can't do it. I did it last year, though.
I did.
I hope you have so much fun." And it was just really sweet.
John, those are private messages. Those are not intended for you to read.
On my Instagram account, private messages. It was really sweet. I was just blown away by just, it was a really, really nice moment.
Okay.
Never do it again. That's my Instagram account. Stay off of it. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So back to this quote unquote game.
Quote unquote game. So compilation of questions. And I'm just going to get your raw, honest responses here.
We'll as raw as I can be.
All right. We're starting at the top. Most underrated player you played with or against?
Oh, Marian Hossa.
Why?
I feel
underrated.
Like...
Underrated. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He will be a Hall of Famer. But when I feel like I played with him, we had such a strong team in Chicago with Taves, Kane, Hossa, Sharp, Keith, Seabrook. He was always overlooked. And I feel like even on those cup teams with Chicago, if you take him out of the equation, they don't win any of those cups. I feel like he had that much of an impact on that team, and he goes unheralded. And no one knows he will be a Hall of Famer because he's so good. He was one of the best, if not the best player I've ever played with.
Really?
And he got no recognition. I don't think he won any major awards. He probably should have won the Selke every single season. He's just such a strong, good player. Put up points. He was the only player to go to 3 straight Stanley Cups or something crazy like that, but for different teams.
Yeah.
It was like Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and he went to lost 2 game sevens in a row. Playing for the opposite team, yeah. And then won it with Chicago the following year, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a super nice guy, but I would say he would be my most underrated, which is strange because he's such a good player and he probably got a lot of props. But yeah, Hoss man.
Yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't get like put up on that same level as the top guys, really.
Right? When you think of the cup-winning teams in Chicago, he's never someone you think of.
Yeah.
But, man, was he good. Fun to watch. Like, just a moose out there. Like, so hard to get off the puck. And his stick was extra long. Like, really? His stick was almost as long as mine. So when he would kind of pull up and stop on the top of the circle and you try to, you know, force him as a defenseman, you always try to go stick on puck. And he sticks his behind out and his stick's way out there. I couldn't get it. And I have the longest stick, me and Char, we could never get it away from him. So
cool.
Yeah. I think Hossman.
All right. Good answer. So flip side, overrated, most overrated player you played with
most
or against.
Overrated. This is a tricky one because you can go just strictly salary based. And there's a lot of guys who don't play up to their salary. But were those just bad salaries? Like you mentioned, Nash.
I think Rick Nash is overrated.
Which I don't agree with. I think he was a great player.
Yeah, he was a good player. But I think he's overrated.
Yeah, I think you don't like it because he kind of tanked in Boston.
No, I was saying that for years.
Yeah, I don't think he's overrated. I think he was a very good player. I mentioned Phil Kessel because I always thought he was a great player and a big-time goal scorer. And then you told me like he hasn't hit 40 goals once. And
isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. But not then one. We also found out he's super consistent. He doesn't miss a game.
Yeah.
He's played 82 games forever.
Yep.
Like he doesn't get hurt. So maybe he's not overrated. Then one that came to my mind, which is kind of strange, Steven Stamkos.
Really?
Is he overrated?
This is your show.
He gets paid so much, but he hasn't won anything. Like what's the formula for being overrated?
Sure, but was Ovechkin overrated until last year?
No, I think Ovechkin plays a more rounded game than Stamkos. When I play against Stamkos versus when I play Ovechkin, there are many times when I don't notice Stamkos. I notice Ovechkin every single game, whether he's burying guys, and he's always like he's all over the ice. Stamkos kind of maybe glides a little. I don't know. He's such a great player. It's hard to, you know, throw shade at somebody, but he does make a ton of money.
Yep.
And he hasn't really accomplished much other than scoring goals. I don't know. I might be off base, but when you asked me that question, he kind of, for some reason, he pops into my head.
So that's what we want, the quick reaction.
I say Stamkos.
All right.
And I probably will get a lot of flack for that, and people will throw me stats like Hart Trophy, Rocket Richard Trophy, this and that. Hey, man.
He's got at least 150-goal season under his belt.
I'm sure he's got three or four. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Moving on. Funniest teammate in the locker room.
This could go both ways. Funniest just because they don't know they're being funny, or funniest like haha jokes. I think the funniest teammate who they don't know they're being funny and they're just kind of goofy. Ay, ay, ay. These are hard. Like they're very difficult. Bernsey's funny, but I hate always bringing up San Jose because I always do that.
Who else comes to mind?
A sleeper funny is Al Stalock. He's great. He's so funny.
One of my favorite, it was like a really quick episode of the podcast, but it was like a really good episode. Yeah,
he was awesome.
He's so great. Yeah. Good friend of mine.
Okay. Best prankster.
Best prankster is Patrick Sharp.
You told that story. Do you want to tell it again?
No.
Another one of my favorite parts. Go back of the and podcast. Listen.
Okay. Funniest. Okay. I'm going to preface this. You've already told a story similar to this from your famous Kessel incident, so I want you to exclude that from this answer.
Okay.
Funniest conversation with a ref on the ice.
I would think I was in a fight and the ref and me were talking during the fight because he was wondering if I was going to be done beating up this guy anytime soon.
Who was it?
It was Westgarth. And so for the last 15, 20 seconds of the fight, the refs and me were kind of, they're like, are you done? I was like, no. Are you done? No, not yet. Are you done? No. And then I was like, okay, I'm done.
How do you decide that you're done creaming this guy?
Once I got a good look at his face and I was like, all right, you're done. You've had enough.
Good for him staying on his feet.
Good for him. There are so many. I've had a few fights where I've held guys up and.
Just so you can keep beating him?
No, because you don't even realize it. You're just like pressing him up against the glass or kind of like holding him up with your arm. You don't really realize it.
Actually, I saw a really good clip the other day. Remember Aaron Asham?
Yeah.
I forget who he fought, but he dummied somebody from the Flyers, I think, when he was on the Pittsburgh. And I think he knocked him out, but he grabbed his jersey and softened the blow from like hitting that. It's a cool moment. Yeah. I saw some comment. Like I wouldn't have noticed it. Like it happened so quickly.
I wonder if he did that on purpose or he was just grabbing onto him. Or he's a good guy. I've met him a couple times.
Yeah, if you watch it, you can see like he definitely intended it.
Because when you really cold cock someone and they go to sleep, sorry, that's my phone. Oh, that's embarrassing. It's a 1-800 number too. Should I answer it?
Let's answer with John Scott?
It's going to be a hello. Hello. Oh, they're not even talking. How embarrassing. I'm just going to leave it all. It's on the call right now. They just hung up on me. Unbelievable. Maybe they knew they were on the air. Anyways, you never want somebody to get hurt, especially with their head bounces off the ice. So cool. Good on Asham.
All right, keep going. Craziest interaction with a fan.
I would say when I got the beer dumped on me in the penalty box in Philadelphia. That was a good one. Or the chew thrown at me in Philadelphia. Or the full can of beer thrown at me in Philadelphia.
What, what about like a conversation with a fan?
In Vancouver, we had a nice little old lady who drove by when we were walking around. It was playoffs when I was with Chicago. And she rolled down the window and she goes, "Hey, fellas." And then proceeded to give us the one fingered salute.
No.
And she must have been 80 years old with the oxygen tank in her nose.
That
and
is like, so funny.
Oh, nice. Vancouver. Classy.
Best captain you played for.
Oh, that's tough. I've had so many captains. My heart wants to go with Pavs, but my mind's telling me no.
Gonna have to cut that out again.
Didn't he get acquitted or no? He's in big trouble.
No, he's definitely in jail now.
He's in big trouble.
Okay, real quick side. Okay. There was a news story and it was R. Kelly in jail and sad because illiterate.
He's illiterate?
I guess he's illiterate and he can't read anything in jail. He has just a Bible in there and he can't read it.
Wow. Maybe should have went to school.
I don't know.
Robert, is his name Robert?
Yeah.
I knew it. Probably Taser, Captain Sirius. He was a good captain.
What, who was the captain when you came up with Minnesota?
Miku Koivu.
Oh, okay. I like him.
You want me to give you his number? You can text with him.
Yeah. Do you mind?
Sure.
Best coach.
Oh, two coaches, Quinville and then, Jacques Lemaire when I came up with Minnesota.
Okay, so best. So you've already been pretty clear of the worst city to play an away game in. What's the best one?
What's the worst one?
Philly.
Well, I liked Philly. I love that atmosphere. The worst to play in as far as atmosphere goes was, well, Arizona, just because they didn't get any fans. And yeah. So it's so hard to play in front of 1,200 people in a big, massive arena. It's like, it's tough. The best, on the other hand, man, Winnipeg was fun.
What about the city itself? Like, you have like, they have great restaurants or like a great place to be.
Vancouver.
Outside of the ice. Still Vancouver
has unbelievable sushi. I'm not a big sushi guy just because I can't eat shrimp, crab, lobster. But Vancouver is, they have one spicy tuna roll. Oh my goodness. I tell you what.
Worth the trip alone?
It's worth the drive to Vancouver.
We should do it.
Okay.
Okay. A team or a city that you wish you could have played for but never did.
Boston.
Let's go.
I truly wish I would have played for Boston. I grew up loving the Bruins. And you just mentioned good food. Like a heck of a good food town in Boston on the north side.
The hype is
real. I'm kind of friends with Ray Bourque now. And he's got a restaurant there. And every time I do an event with him, he's like, anytime you come to Boston, you know, check us out. And so Boston.
Nice.
For sure. The north side. I love Italian food.
Did you have any friends in the Bruins?
No.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
You guys did not get along.
No.
Who did you never fight, but wish you did?
Chara.
Yeah. And you tried, right?
Tried.
Best locker room DJ.
Oh my word. I would think no European ever. And then no young kid. Cause I like a more traditional rock, older school rock. So that's a very small group of people who like that. And I'll throw on the Tragically Hip. So mostly it's Al Stalock was good, but I usually kind of controlled the DJ sometimes where I play just because I hated the new school rap. I hated the techno stuff they play now. And I despise all the European music, the house trance stuff.
I was wondering too, like who, how do you decide who controls the music?
Usually it's a rookie because no one wants to do it.
Oh, really?
Because it's just such a painful, it's a thankless job because there's always somebody in the room who's like, this stinks.
Yeah.
You suck. And yeah, it's usually a rookie or young guy or whoever's sitting right next to the stereo.
Do you have anything on your iPod that people might be surprised lives there?
Lives there?
Yeah,
I guess we're doing 21 questions.
Yeah, well,
sorry,
best
Tim.
Question, Larry, so far. It's loaded with kids stuff now. Like
let's say that you actually listen to.
I like to throw in country a lot now.
Okay,
what would be fun is if we did an iPod where we just play random and then we just keep hitting next.
Whoa.
And see what song pops up. We should do that next.
I'm writing it down.
Yes. Anyways, lots of Frozen, lots of Moana, lots of kids soundtracks. That's not, like, what
you
dominates.
Don't have like a secret like metal phase or anything like that.
Oh, I went through all the phases. When I was growing up, I was big emo, like Brand New and The Starting
My
Line.
Man.
And Talking Back Thursday or Talking Back
Taking
Back Thursday.
Wait. Taking Back Sunday.
Taking Back Sunday. Yeah.
Talking I just saw them in Thursday. Concert like 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, I went through that phase. Then I tried to transition into more rock where I was like Rage Against the Machine and Korn and those guys. Now I'm kind of trending to more like 60s, 70s era. I'm like Neil Young Pandora. I put it on all the time.
We call that yacht rock.
Why?
Just because it's like a new genre called yacht rock.
Because you have
like,
you listen to it on a yacht?
You would listen to it on a yacht, yeah. You're just like carefree.
Who's we?
SiriusXM in my car. By myself.
I don't think so. I think yacht people don't listen to that.
Okay.
No.
Jim, next question.
Next question.
Best goalie that you played with or against?
With Henrik Lundqvist. Against, probably, man, when Rene's on his game, he's tough to beat. Pekka Rene, he's tough to beat. Who are you writing to right now?
I'm just jotting down notes.
Unbelievable.
Most fun guy to go out with.
Fun guy to go out with.
Teammate.
I was going to say you. I would say he gave it the fist bump. I didn't go out too much, so I don't know. Brian Bickle.
There you go.
And we fun because we just ate a hamburger and played Wordless Friends, so that's fun for me.
Who's one player that people might not realize that you're good buddies with?
Oh my goodness. Probably like I talk about everybody I'm buddies with, which is funny. I guess someone who I kind of still, I guess Oliver Ekman Larson, I think we kind of still whenever our paths cross, we're very friendly. So.
Have you talked to him at all since he got made captain?
No. I didn't keep in touch with many guys.
Yeah.
It's tough to build lifelong relationships that carry on when you only play on a team for like a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
It is very, I know when people are like, oh, I still talk to this guy. I'm like, yeah, you played with him for 5 years. That's why it's nice to people who I do still keep in touch with. It's a real friendship just because I didn't spend much time with these guys over my career.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't like Larson. I just say that just because when I see him, we're still pretty friendly, but I'm not friends with him. You know, I see him whenever I see him. I never text him or anything. So,
Yeah. Who was the veteran or veterans that took you under their wing when you were a rookie?
Owen Nolan, cowboy, we called him Mr. Grumpy himself, kind of took me under his wings and showed me the ropes, which was good or bad. I don't know. Cause he never stretched. He didn't really do too much. And I didn't really stretch when I played. So maybe that was a bad thing.
What was he like?
Grumpy.
Yeah.
Very abrasive, just kind of marched to the beat of his own drum, and he just did his own thing.
So like, but you said he took you under his wing. Like, what was his leadership style?
We liked the same things. We went out to dinner a few times, and he just showed me how to do things the right way. And if I was messing up, he wasn't afraid to say, hey, like, let's pick it up. You're being terrible today. So, which I liked. I like people who are straightforward and just don't kind of beat around the bush. If you don't like me, just tell me. That's fine. I'll deal with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is a good one? Who's the biggest drill buster?
Mike Brown
in San Jose.
In San Jose, his nickname was Pitsy because he sweats so bad. His armpits are always sweaty, but he would bust him and Andrew Desjardins actually would bust every single drill.
Really?
And so we would always try to work it out where he was at the front of the line, and we would just watch him go
and just get it over with.
And he would just skate and have no idea where he's going. And it was so funny. And we'd be like, Pitsy. And he'd just be like, oh, it was so great. Yeah. Cause it's funny when a drill starts, and some of them are pretty complex where it's like, okay, you're passing, you're skating, you're stopping, you're going around. And it's funny. You don't want to be at the front of the line. So to watch like the one corner, no one knows what they're doing and everyone's shuffling to the back. No one will form like a straight line. It's just like a group of people skating around.
It's like that from like when you're 10 years old on.
I know. And it's like so that funny. In the show, because they have these drills sometimes. It's like, man, who designed this thing? Like, let's just Keep it simple. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, but yeah, it's funny. Pitsy was the worst.
Do the coaches like get annoyed or they laugh too?
Well, when it's really, really bad, they laugh, but they get annoyed when it's the third, fourth, fifth time we're trying to do the drill and people still mess it up. Yeah, I've been known to bust a few drills. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
It happens. Good. That's a good question. I like that one.
Yeah. Coolest moment in the handshake line after a game?
Well, you don't shake hands after every game.
Oh, yes, in the playoffs then.
I don't know. No cool moments.
Nothing good there?
No.
All right. Well,
cool moment how? You have like 4 seconds.
I don't know. Anyone ever like say like something really nice or, you know, when a veteran?
After the All-Star game, Jagr shook hands and he's like, hey, great job. You killed it. Good. Thanks for being here. It was so fun flying with you. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's that. There we go.
Yeah. Did you know I was in the All-Star game? And Jagr was in it.
And, you were?
I was in it in 2016. Yeah.
Oh, did you get to play much?
I played a couple shifts. Yeah.
Okay. Probably didn't score though.
I scored actually twice. It was actually really great. Yeah.
Dang.
I know. Wow. It was really fun. But yeah, and then we shook hands with Jagr. Jarmo Jagr.
Heard of him.
Very fun. Very fun game.
Most superstitious teammate.
Goodness gracious. My goalie in college. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Cam Ellsworth used to count pennies before every game. Whoa. He used to always skate along the red line, like do his arm movements before every game. He used to, very strange cat. And so we would always steal his pennies from his locker room and like mess with them.
What do you mean count pennies?
He had like 37 pennies in his locker because he was number 37, I think. And we'd always mess him up. And oh, he would get so upset. So
every day he would just count all 37?
He was very, very superstitious. He's a coach now in the coast or college or something. Yeah, nice guy.
Was it just like in a nerdy way or was he just like superstitious?
I think it was just a super, which is funny because he wasn't getting shutouts left and right. Like we were a bad team. It's like, Cam, mix it up a little bit. I still remember one year, his senior year, he came in to camp really, really, really in shape because the first 3 years he would just down 2 liters of Coke all the time and pizza and he was not in shape. And the fourth year he came in, he like was on a diet and he was terrible. And so we're like, Cam, just go back to what you were doing before. Like, here's some pop, here's some chips and pizza. Like, let's bulk up a little bit. Get the old Cam back. Because man, was he bad the first half of the year. Terrible.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. This is the last question.
And then we'll do your questions.
Oh gosh. Yeah. The first time that you were in awe of who you were on the ice with?
First shift in the NHL. I was in Minnesota playing against Detroit. Literally stepped on the ice probably a couple minutes in. I was playing defense. Out on the ice was Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and I believe Franzen. And on defense was Rafalski and Lidstrom.
Holy moly.
Like an unbelievable first shift. And my coach, I look over, it was Mario Tremblay. He's like, yeah, change it up. Change it up. So we went D to D and I chipped it into the neutral zone. And I changed it up right away.
Yeah.
But it was like, whoa.
That's pretty cool.
Super cool. Super cool moment.
And you didn't freak out?
Did not freak out. Took a pass, went off the glass and out and then changed it up. My first shift was probably like 10 seconds long.
Was that ever a relief or was it like make you a little hungry for more?
Oh, I'm always hungry, Larry.
He's always hungry.
Never satisfied. I always want more.
He's got 6 different steaks in front of him right now.
And I want 7.
And he's still hungry.
And I want 7. Oh, my word. Okay, Tim, your questions.
Oh, gosh.
Favorite food?
Tacos.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Cat or dog?
Dog.
Favorite hockey player?
You.
That's favorite so cute. Favorite
hockey player? Datsyuk.
Hockey team?
Bruins.
Would you rather score a goal or get into a fight?
Goal.
Beard or no facial hair?
Beard.
Beard or mustache?
Beard.
Do you ever feel upset when you shave the hair underneath your lip?
What?
Do you feel sad when you shave the hair underneath, right underneath your nose?
No.
You know, the only part that it's growing in.
Yeah.
No,
the hair right underneath your nose.
Do you get sad?
Yeah. Does it upset you when you shave the hair right underneath your nose?
No. Oh. Why did it upset you?
Well, because you have posters on the wall of someone who has hair right underneath the nose. So I'm just wondering if that would make you upset.
John Scott.
What? What?
Burt Reynolds, you mean?
Yeah, we'll go with Burt Reynolds. Nice one. Okay. Favorite city to eat in?
Can I say Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite country to travel to, if you could. Country to travel to anywhere in the world.
That I haven't been to yet?
Whatever you want.
I'll say Germany.
Oh! Holy, we're going to end it on that one. That is too good.
I went there a couple of years ago. I had a blast.
Oh, I bet you did. You were probably there in the 40s. Oh my goodness.
I can't believe that just happened.
I believe it. When you do rapid fire questions, the truth comes out. You don't have time to filter your answers.
I went to Munich. I went to Auschwitz, probably.
You went to a lot of spots.
I went to Berlin.
Let me guess, you tried to go to Paris. Then you tried to make your way up to Moscow and take over the whole world.
No.
That is unbelievable. Too good. Anyways. I hope you guys enjoyed this different episode of Dropping the Gloves.
That was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And we'll try to be better next week.
We're always trying to be better.
I'm always striving to be better.
As we've talked about, you're always hungry.
I'm always hungry. But anyways, I hope everyone's having a good summer. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Cheers.
Nine. So funny. I can't believe that.
So funny.
Was it on purpose?
Odds of you saying...
Germany. I'm like, okay, what trips have I been on? Oh, Germany, I had a blast. I went to Oktoberfest.
So good. You're an idiot. Oh my gosh.